For God's sake, raise your sights. Mention of the Inquisitors had put me in mind of the conversation I'd had with Varrox on 10th Night. This had slipped my mind because of what had happened a few moments afterwards, but I could remember him gazing up at the Starhenge. Or perhaps he'd been raising his sights a little higher, looking off into space. Come to think of it, he'd been facing north at the time. Larger matters are at stake than whether a young Fra at the remote hermitage of Sant Edhar practices his vlor on some local renegades. Think bigger, the way your friend does when he decides to tackle four larger men. What on earth did that mean? That the alien ship was a threat? That we would soon have to tackle it against long odds? Or was I reading too much into it? And why, during my earlier conversation with Varrox, had he grilled me concerning my opinions on the Hylaean theoric world? It was an odd time for someone like him to be so concerned with metatheorics. Or maybe I was reading way too much into these conversations. Maybe Varrox was just one of those guys who thought out loud. The raise your sights part of it seemed pretty clear. I didn't need a lot of encouragement to get to work. After Orlo's anathem, the only thing that had kept me from going crazy had been working on the photomnemonic tablet. Ayla's loss wasn't quite as dreadful. At least she hadn't been thrown back. But unlike Orlo's, it had been entirely surprising to me. I was still feeling bad that I had just stood there like a stunned animal while she had walked out of my life. To have lost her, just after we had begun something. Well, suffice it to say that I really needed a project to work on. Our group invaded the shack above the belfry with every measuring device we could scare up. Archibald found some architectural drawings of the minster dating back to the 4th century. We calculated the geometry of the camera obscura in three different ways and compared the results until we got them all to agree. We were able to refine the rough measurement we had made at Schuf's Dalmont. The ship's new orbit was inclined at about 51 degrees to the equator, which meant that it passed over essentially all populated areas. When the weather had become hot and dry in the centuries after the terrible events, people had tended to move poleward. More recently, reductions in the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere had begun to gentle the climate, and people had migrated back towards the equator to get away from the solar radiation near the poles. As a matter of fact, 51 degrees was a higher orbit than the ship really needed, if all it wanted was to keep an eye on most of the world's population. We thought this mysterious until Archibald pointed out that if you looked at all the world's major continents, meaning ones that had millennium clocks and that housed hundreds or thousands of avout, the one that was farthest from the equator was at 51.3 degrees north latitude. That one happened to be the remote hermitage of Sant Edhar.